The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at FFRep. You can follow Kevin on Twitter. It's at Stanfield Kevin. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
And
yes,
you can follow me on Twitter. That's at Claude J Radio. Am I correct? Yes, you are correct. And so good. I'm glad to make sure that I was correct on what I was talking about myself.
That's right.
So the Redskins improved to 5-6 on the season after a 20-10 victory Thanksgiving night. Night victory, by the way, over the New York Giants. That's 20-10.
I actually stayed up and watched it. I was
going to say, yeah, you know, because we were having doubts. At one point when we saw that tickets were going for $5, we said maybe we'll end up going to the game. But that didn't happen.
And the tickets actually went down quite a bit. I know Rodney, who's rejoined us, Rodney Hiddleston, our insider fan, he texted me a couple of times wanting to go to the game because he was down like the 20-yard line for like $120 or something
really?
Like that.
Wow.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it. And not for that game, because the game was I mean, you had no way of knowing in advance,
right?
But, you know, they would have to give me the platinum parking.
Right.
Yeah,
that had to be other perks to go to that game, other than watching the game.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you watch the game, that had to be without a doubt some of the worst football I've seen.
It was bad. Even though the Redskins came out with the win, scoring 10 points in the fourth quarter to pull out the 10-point win. I mean, it was some bad football you were watching. There was nothing exciting about it. There was nothing you could cheer for. I mean, other than just pure unadulterated wanting your team to win, there was literally nothing worth watching in that game.
It was just like a comedy of errors.
Both sides, by the way.
Yeah, really. It was like, I mean, the Giants have had injuries too, but, you know, how many teams are there? It just can't be that the top guys are that good and everybody else is just a bum, right?
Right.
You figure if you're on the pro football roster, you should be a pro football player. You're going to tell me that the top guys can play?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And at least able to play the game, right? Because you look at it and you see, the Giants have a ton of injuries. The Redskins have a ton of injuries. So you're looking at both teams playing a lot of backups. And so you figure, all right, this should be somewhat, you know, even. It seemed like a preseason game. It seemed like an exhibition game on a holiday.
It's like the guys who've not been in the game. It's like the guy who instead of downing the punt, he grabs it.
Right.
Now, everybody, how many? Look, I know we got kids listening, right? So, you kids that watch football, you know if you touch the ball, it's down. That's why the guys try not to touch the line.
Yes.
If you had the ball in your possession crossing the line, everybody knows that.
Down's the punt and then right keeps
over. For this one dude. He's the only dude who didn't know that.
Right. And you're trying to figure out, like, you know, how don't you play the game?
You
get paid to do this. This is all you do for it. So it's not as if, you know, I'm a lawyer and I had a real tough case this week and it just hit my mind. I'm just happy to get out and have some recreation. No, you play the game. Like, how do you get lost in that moment? Like, your focus is on that play.
I'm a rocket scientist. I got to get this new nuclear formula that doesn't, like, make the rockets glow in the dark. I've been working on that all day. Then I came out here to cover the punts, right?
Right, you know, exactly.
You didn't have a whole lot of other stuff on your mind.
Right.
Like, I got stuff on my mind. I got stuff on my mind.
Right.
I would have downed the ball before y'all.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
How do you know that?
It was so odd. I had Redskins fans at the house, and I mean, they were into it until about halfway through the first quarter. They literally left. They were like, "Yeah, I was going to go home, man. Happy Thanksgiving. We had so much fun. The food was great. Everybody's laughing." And I'm like, I thought you guys were going to stay to watch the rest of the game. I think we'll go home, man. Got to get up to work tomorrow. I'm going to go home and decorate for Christmas. I mean, just making other plans and not wanting to watch the rest of this game.
Not very inspirational, not at all.
No, not at all. So the Redskins improved to 5-6. The Giants fall to 2-9. Giants falling to 2-9, by the way, and benching Eli Manning for the next game.
That just happened right before we started recording this. I have theories. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that the team... here's the thing. He won two Super Bowls. But he hasn't been in that form since probably the last Super Bowl that they won. You know, I mean, he's struggled for some. But I don't believe Eli's the problem. They have issues on the offensive line. They haven't really been good since they've had like a premier running back. And all their receivers are hurt this year. Like, what do you want him to do? So one part of me feels as if they're benching Eli simply because there's just no point in playing him the rest of the season. The other part of me feels like New York fans are irrational. I feel as if the coach is doing a horrible job. I feel as if the team is just in a downward spiral and have no clue what to do. And so they're just going to bench Eli, and this may be Eli's time in New York may be coming to an end.
Well, that's interesting. Everything you said has been logical, practical. I've been looking at it a different way. I think that this is the Giants' version of wrapping Eli in bubble wrap so that Kirk Cousins leaves, Eli will come to town and we want to hear fresh, right?
You know?
So we want an uninjured Eli Manning.
Getting him ready for Washington.
Playing for the Burgundy and Gold next year.
There you go.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's up.
Because
there's no way.
Let's start it.
There's no way Eli's going to stay in New York after this. I don't know the terms of his contract.
And number one, to bench him and he's won you two Super Bowls. Two, he's not the problem. But three, Who are you putting in for? I mean, you're going to put in, what's the kid's name?
Geno Smith is the one who's going to start.
Geno Smith.
Who last we saw was getting knocked out by a Jets lineman.
Right. You're putting in Geno. You know, Eli's got to be looking around like, what are we talking about here? Geno Smith? You're going to bench me for this guy? Come on. Here's the thing, and I wish we could get Eli on the phone. I know he listens to the show, but he's a little busy right now.
Probably busy,
getting the resume together. looking for a house in Ashburn. So it's like, I want to ask Eli, like, do you sit back and you just hope that this guy does bad? Like, these guys don't know what they're missing with me. They don't know what the drop-off is from me to him. And I just wonder if you look back and say, you know, not that you want the team to lose per se, but this guy is not me, and you're going to find out.
Look, Eli got sacked 25 times by the team that Drew Brees threw up like 200 yards in 3 minutes.
Right.
So that's why they bench Eli. You lost to the Burgundy and Gold? Man, go sit down. No, and maybe you're looking at it like, you know, for Eli's protection. There is no good reason to be doing this, you know, except for like keeping him for the Burgundy and Gold because there's what can be gained? And the season is
let's keep him healthy. Let's put no more bad tape out there. He's won two Super Bowls. We want to shop him around.
That's it.
I mean, they could not move the ball at all against the Redskins. Again, the one touchdown came on a pick six that Kirk Cousins threw in the third quarter that kept the Giants around. I mean, you know, it's interesting because as bad as a game as it was, no matter which team you were rooting for at 10-10, each team could make an argument that they felt like they were in control. I could see why the Redskins felt as if they were in control of the game, just some mistakes and just not being able to move the ball at times. But I could also see how the Giants would feel like they were in control of the game.
Well, you know, I don't see how either one of them could feel like they were in control because it seemed like nothing would work for anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, we tried. It's just... Either we're incapable of going like a yard in any direction, the receivers can't catch, which goes back to my original point. Mm-hmm. You're a professional football player. I mean, there's 53 guys on the roster, I believe. Are you going to tell me that guy number 1 through number 22 is that much better than the second half of the roster?
Right. Who would have thought, right? So Eli, 13 for 27, 113 yards, one touchdown. Kirk Cousins, 19 for 31. I mean, almost identical. He did a little better than Eli. 242, two touchdowns, one interception. Samaje Perine, we talked about this, run the ball. 24 carries, 100 yards. Who would have thought that you could get a 100-yard rusher by just running the ball a little more?
Interesting. Perine is a throwback running back. Between the tackles, you know, put your head down and pound, you know, 3 yards in the cloud of dust. And half the plays that run with him are just futile. He's like the influence blocking, zone read, cut back. That's not him.
Right. Yeah, just push the guy in front of you 4 yards back, and he's going to, you know, run straight up. Yeah, I mean,
if there's a way he can get a running start, even on the swing passes, once he gets the ball in space and knows to go forward, knows to protect the ball, he's just, you know, they have to change the offense for him.
Right.
And the kid Anderson, I believe that's his name, who just got here, who's now the third down back. Mm-hmm. They said the reason they made him the third down the third down back was because they never practiced P. Ryan in any of the third down plays.
Right, right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That just doesn't make sense to me, right?
It's like, what are we talking about
what
here?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, how
we need to do
sense?
Less football on the Federal Football Report and do more coaching.
Exactly. We need to do less radio and get down to the Redskins Park and do some coaching and see what's going on.
They sorely need it, I tell you that.
You're 100% right about that. Jameson Crowder, by the way, again, we talked about this. If anybody should have felt slighted by the wide receiver moves that were made, it would probably be Jameson Crowder. And he's been really, really consistent all season long, outside of the times that he hadn't played. But 7 receptions, 141 yards, 1 touchdown. That was a really good game for him.
Right. He's a great slot receiver. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how he would fare always on the outside against the team's number one corner, but
well, number one receiver to me in the light that he should be a main target.
Oh, absolutely,
even like, as a slot.
I'm drawing a blank. What was the kid's name for the Patriots who played the Wes Walker?
Wes Walker, right. Exactly.
He was not the number one receiver, right?
Of course not. Right.
He was a team that had that Randy Moss on it, right? Yeah. But in the slot, he was unstoppable. He still caught like 90 passes a year, a lot of touchdown passes. You got to play within your position, right? So you need to develop a team. You could do with subpar talent, but don't pay the guy like he's the most important receiver on the team when obviously Crowder is handling the workload.
Right.
Now, I like what I've seen out of Josh Dotson. I think that he will do nothing but improve.
Two receptions, 28 yards, 1 touchdown for him.
Nothing but improve when they utilize him the right way. Now, it's obvious that Kirk has a method in everything he does, and right now is getting Dotson is more or less a last resort.
Okay,
if he's not automatically wide open, he's very hesitant to throw the ball, right? Who knows what the motivation is? Is it a lack of wanting to make a mistake because you think it's better for the team? Do you think your stats that you're going to use when you go and negotiate your contract at the end of the season, you want to keep them pristine? You know, we don't want Kirk to have to settle again for a measly like $34 million a year, right?
How is he supposed to feed his family with that?
Insulting him by throwing a franchise tag on him again. Yeah, we don't want that to keep happening. We know who you are.
The world knows.
And then, playing behind, the New York Giants offensive line like Kirk's going to be doing next year. He'll be, let's see what his relationship with Odell Beckham Jr. will be at that point.
Yeah. No, that's very interesting. So, the Redskins improved to 5-6.
Improve, if you can say improve. Can you say improve?
Well, the record improved to 5-6. Giants, 2-9. It's very interesting because, when you look around at the rest of the NFC and you start to do this, and we'll have a special on this in Fake News or Not, and you just try to look at playoff scenarios, and it might be a little too early, maybe not too early because it's late in the season, but maybe he's got to see the way things shape out the rest of the way. But it's interesting that they're right kind of in the middle, in the thick of things when it comes to, because no one, like you said, outside the top teams seem to be like separating themselves from everybody else.
Yeah, and then some teams are going in the opposite direction, like Thursday's opponent, the Cowboys.
They
seem to, I did not think they were going to miss Zeke as much as they are missing him, but I don't think that's the problem. I think the main problem with the Cowboys and their spiral is the defense. They let, I believe, 2 of their secondary go this year in free agency. Lee, who is a great football player when he's healthy.
Can't stay healthy.
Don't give him the ability to stay
healthy.
He's
Jordan Reed.
Basically.
When he's on the field, he can be a difference maker.
He's never on the field. So and then teams have been not so much daring Dak Prescott to beat them, because Dak can beat them.
I feel like the coaching staff is daring Dak to beat other teams. Like Jason Garrett and those guys aren't putting him in the best position. I feel like they could literally they're asking more of him than they did last year, it seems, and he's doing a lot of checkdowns pre-snap and things like calling out of plays. He wasn't doing a lot of that last year.
Yeah, let him just call his own plays. And Dez Bryant has like become mortal this season. He's just not the difference maker.
Yeah, no, he's not.
I don't know if it's catching up to him or whatever, but
and he seems super frustrated.
I don't know if he's hurt, but he's not open.
But he's not getting open. And that's one thing about Dak being a young quarterback. from last year, he does not seem fazed by Dez complaining about the ball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he's
not
like,
at
when
all.
Dez gets open, I'll throw him the ball. And if he's not open, I'm not going to throw him. Yeah. And it seems like there are times when he forces it, but it's like it almost seems like the play is geared towards trying to get him going and getting him involved. But well,
Jason Witten, who should have retired like 4 years ago, is probably going to be all pro this year because of Dak. So it's not all Dak. It's going to be an interesting game on Thursday because we've always said that the burgundy and gold seems to be a good medicine to heal other teams, right?
You know? Well, one would have thought that about the Giants. But the Giants may be so broken that there's no bringing them back until who knows, until next year maybe.
until Kirk
there must be something there because you've kind of, you know, been harboring on that for a while.
Yeah, I think it's there.
So, so we'll talk about schedules and the standings coming up in a future segment. We also have a very exciting segment of Fake News or Not. I think that you'll enjoy this. But I want to talk a little bit about the Redskins defense. Because it's a unit that's been struggling the last few games. But they showed up Thursday. But I'm not sure if they showed up or whether it was just the Giants being the Giants. The Giants being inept at being able to move the ball and score.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because I was going to even give them a pass for the New Orleans game because I think that they played above their heads for three quarters and then Drew Brees showed up in the last half. And I think with some bad defensive calls, it's really, really hard to tell against the Giants because you look at the Giants and say that, well, Kansas City only scored 10 points on them.
Right.
But you know, they held Kansas City to 10 points,
right.
It's a give or take thing, right? And they had to do something. Well, the defensive line had a great game. Kerrigan had numerous sacks. There was a lot of Eli was constantly under pressure from the middle and the sides. You don't want to say they're a bunch of bums, but the defense has been the weak link on this team. I think they really want to play, though. That's the thing that I like about this team. They don't hang the head. There's not a lot of argument on the sideline, right? Mm-hmm. They sincerely want to play. It might just be a physical thing where the guys just aren't fast enough or strong enough to do what they have to do.
Right, right.
Somebody said you can teach tackling, you can teach form, you just can't teach fast.
Right. That's something you got to have.
Yeah, you got to have. Very it. So maybe we just need to get some faster guys.
So it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude. He's Kevin. And, you know, I just want to vent really quick before we go to commercial
break. Take your time.
If I can. So driving in studio, we were going to get recording probably about 30 minutes before I actually even got into the studio because of traffic. Let me just say this about DC drivers, you know, and it's not everybody. And I'm pretty sure a lot of it just has to do with the city and one-way streets and then lights and people rushing, trying to get home.
Cars.
It's just some horrible drivers in the city, man. Like, I just don't get it. You know, you can't turn left if you're all the way in the right-hand lane. And there's no point. Here's what I don't get. I see this on the Beltway. I see it on city streets. Someone's all the way in the far left lane. And all of a sudden their exit or their turn comes up and they just slide all the way over to the right lane to make a turn as if you can't just make a U-turn, especially on a city street.
I mean,
the Beltway, you can't. But on a city street, you could just go down to the next block, make a U-turn, and hit the turn the next time, as opposed to putting yourself and everyone else in danger because you almost hit a turn.
Well, no, man, it's because people listening to their phone and say, turn right ahead. This is your turn.
As opposed to kind of knowing where they're going,
right?
And that's another thing. You get these navigators and sure, you can listen for the voice, but it's also easier to put it on the map feature so you can actually see the street. And you can say, okay, this is the street where I turn. So then when they say, turn here, you already know because you saw it on the map. But my point is, why make these last-minute late turns and slide all the way across from one lane to the next and putting everybody in? It's the worst. And cab drivers are the worst.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cab drivers are the worst. Look. What you do for a living is driving. I mean, we talk about with football players. You know, you drive for a living. Why are you so bad at it? If anyone else was as bad at what they do as cab drivers are at driving, they would be fired immediately.
That's true.
Because they put people's lives in danger. And so if my ineptitude at radio was such to the extent that people's lives were in danger because of my broadcasting lack of skill, I would be fired.
Well, look, I tell you this. My dear departed father, as a business, a second business, like everybody has a hustle, ours is radio, he owned his own cab. right?
Nice.
He would tell you the cab drivers couldn't drive.
What is that all about?
Coming from the horse's mouth, right?
Why are they so bad at this?
I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know. We need them to call in or, you know, stop using Uber or something. I don't know.
And so I came into the studio with a bad mood because of the driving.
Right.
I had to listen to Christmas music and cheer myself up. I had to put on Boys to Men, the 1993 Christmas Interpretations album.
Oh, okay. All right. That'll work.
By album, I don't mean album or CD or cassette. I pulled it up on YouTube.
Okay, right.
I had to just kind of plug
right
some headphones.
Right beside your driving app, right?
Right. It's the Federal Bar Report on Federal News Radio. Man, we talk traffic. We talk a little bit of football. We talk lifestyle stuff. All kinds of stuff. I'll tell you what we'll be talking next segment. We'll be talking fake news or not. That's coming up next on the Federal Football Report.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood, and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Researchers are working on a potential new renewable energy source that could do double duty by conserving water, too. The goal is to harvest the power from water evaporation. To do that, Pierre Gentin and colleagues at Columbia University are sandwiching water-absorbing bacterial spores between plates of material that
expand and contract depending on how much moisture you have in the air. That can basically be transformed into a way to generate power.
Gentin says the plates could be spread out on bodies of water, like a lake, and
since you're regulating evaporation, you would actually reduce the amount of evaporation from the lake.
So it could conserve water, and it would actually work best in dry climates. Gentin says the technique has the potential to generate 70% of current U.S. electricity use, but still needs many years of engineering work. More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
An accountant is behind bars for embezzling millions of dollars from his victims, including a client with Alzheimer's. Thomas Houck was an accountant for a Kansas financial management business, and when the company discovered discrepancies, they called the FBI. The investigation revealed Houck stole his client's money and deposited it into his own accounts. Case agent Casey Leidecker says Houck used his victims' money to buy 66 luxury motorcycles and cars.
They trusted him, they befriended him, they considered him part of the family, and he managed to perpetrate this fraud for 10 years at this company.
Investigators conducted search warrants, interviews, and a lengthy forensic accounting of the books.
The forensic accountant on the case was key.
Houck pleaded guilty. In addition to a 9-year sentence, he was ordered to pay restitution. Law enforcement was able to return about $1.7 million to Houck's victims. I'm Molly Halpern of the FBI with the Gotcha Spot, featuring the Bureau's closed cases.
John F. Kennedy once said, "The greater our knowledge increases, the more our ignorance unfolds."
If you are a CIO of a government agency, you know what that means. That's why there is federalnewsradio.com. Because it's not just about gathering intel. It's about gathering the right intel. Wisdom served daily by a team of award-winning journalists like Jason Miller and Tom Temin. federalnewsradio.com. Experience the difference.
Delete this immediately. You hear me?
From the producers who brought you Agency CIO's dream come true.
Who are these people?
And Federal IT Lifesaver.
They're amazing.
Now comes another summer blockbuster.
Wow, this intel is a game changer.
We're running out of time. Post it now.
Here it goes.
Starring a 40-year veteran journalist and the host of the Federal Drive.
I don't care what the consequences are. We just can't keep this to ourselves. They have to know.
Tom Temin. And a 20-year veteran of executive branch coverage and executive editor of Federal News Radio.
Wait till you hear this interview.
the award-winning journalist, Jason Miller.
Oh, this is good. You better crank it up.
FederalNewsRadio.com. Experience the difference. Rated GS 11 and above. Showing now at FederalNewsRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website's FederalNewsRadio.com. Of course, Redskins beat the Giants 20-10, so we've got to bring our Giants insider back in. We've got Rodney Henderson with us. Rodney, how you doing, man?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in here.
That's all? I'm hanging in. That seems like what Eli's trying to do, trying to hang on in there. So we'll talk about the game, but let's talk about some of this late-breaking news with the Giants, where Eli's going to be benched. So Kevin's got this theory on why this is happening. Kevin, go ahead and let Rodney know what you're thinking, and then, Rodney, you let us know what you've got.
Rodney, there's only one reason that you would bench a two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback. This is the Giants' way of putting him on bubble wrap, wrapping him bubble wrap to keep him preserved, so they're going to ship him off to Washington next year. When Washington lets Cousins walk, Eli will be in the burgundy and gold. What do you think about that?
Possibility. It would probably be an even swap. So we bubble wrap Eli for you, and you bubble wrap Kirk Cousins for us. Maybe you come up and help win us some games.
Well, I tell you what now, you got a guy in Eli who's won two Super Bowls, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they were underdogs in both of those Super Bowl. One, they beat the unbeatable Patriots, miraculously, but, right. It takes some of that sometimes to win when you don't have it, right? And for the other one, they beat
feel like both of them were against the Patriots.
Yeah, New England. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because the second game, Eli had a great game, right? He was in pinpoint passing. So, what in your opinion, why are they doing this? I mean, I have my theory. What's yours?
My theory is right now Jerry Reese and McAdoo and also the owners are, as reported, they're all on the same page to bench, to go forward, to move on with Eli Manning. So, they're hitting the reset button, and it's time to clean house, I guess, revamp, and start looking for college quarterbacks, college talent, new talent for the NFL, for the Giants.
But wouldn't it be better just to finish the season out with Eli and not have Geno, or what's the point of playing Geno Smith?
That's the whole point that I understand. Now, we draft a rookie in the third round. Mm-hmm. You want to move to Geno Smith?
Yeah, I don't get that.
He might get a flashback from the guy hitting him with the left hand. So you never know what's going to happen with Geno, but he has an opportunity to move on. But what message are you sending to the New York Giants, who Landon Collins, who's trying to play hard, Snack Harrison, who's playing hard? That's kind of like a mixed message of what you're saying. We're going to go with the rookie to evaluate what? You say you want to play to win the game. That's not the best chance to win the game when you want to sub in Geno Smith or Eli Manning. Even though Eli Manning has his, downfalls and stuff like that, but he's a leader. Mm-hmm. We won the game from Kansas City because he had a fiery speech. So they rally around Eli.
Right.
I don't know what to say. He reports is going out now and say he's one of the best teammates. Davis Webb, the rookie, said he ever been around.
Wow.
He's holding back tears because emotionally he's like, I knew I should have left with Kaufman left.
No, absolutely. So I'm looking at the game, and I had mentioned this in the previous segment, that watching the game, even in the third quarter when it's 10-10, I could literally understand how a Redskin fan could watch this game and think that even though it's tied, the Redskins had things under control. But I could equally see how a Giants fan can watch this game, it's 10-10, and feel as if the Giants have it under control. When watching this game, did you feel like we've got this under control, we're going to win this game?
Well, it felt like whoever's going to make a first down was going to win the game. That's what it felt like for me because, Redskins had, total 17 first down. We had total 7 first downs.
It was some of the worst football I've ever seen, man.
Right. I want to say it was a good defensive game, but it wasn't.
It wasn't a good offensive game. You're right. It just wasn't.
Right, it's weird. Now, there were also some Redskins fans at my house, and they decided to leave towards the end of the first quarter, middle of the second quarter. Did you have any Skins fans at your house? Did you have any Giants fans there? What was the scene like?
Well, Well, I'm the lone wolf in the household. Oh, okay. I have a whole bunch of Redskins fans.
Oh, and you couldn't tell them to leave, I guess.
No. Because I was visiting over the house.
Okay.
Tell them to leave. That's bold. Tell them to leave their house.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and so at 2-9, what has been plagueing the Giants all season, Roddy, as you see it?
This identity crisis, what type of offense we were going to run. Are we going to run the ball? Are we going to pass the ball? Are we going to go through Eli/ Aaron Rodgers style? This identity-wise, we don't know what we're going to do. We try to rely on last year, which you can't. Every new year is a new year, new team, new results. Chemistry, coach chemistry with the players. Just a different year. So I believe chemistry-wise, coaches, not been on the same page. And then also, defense didn't play up to par of last year. Because last year, we were dominant. This year, it just wasn't there. I mean, we were down. The offense couldn't the offense couldn't get in the end zone. So by the time the defense could hold on, they were tired.
Yeah. Now you look at the fact that Eli's brother, Peyton, went through it was something similar. It was due to injury when he was with the Colts, but he ended up with another team, and the rest is history, right? Where do you see Eli going? If he's no longer fitting for him in New York, and I got my theory, but, you know, they don't listen to me, otherwise they'd be winning. What's a good fit for Eli in the NFL, in your eyes?
Well, as I stated before, they go with Tom Coughlin in Jacksonville. They need a quarterback, and that would be option one for Eli, I assume, and also option 1A will probably come to the Redskins just to play the Giants twice a year.
Yeah, well, we tried that with Donovan McNabb. It didn't work out too well. That's another story, all right?
That is another story.
Oh, man, that's very interesting. So, Rodney, look, man, 2-9. Let us know what do you think the rest of the season is going to hold for the Giants. Will you guys win another game?
Hope not.
You want that high pick. You know, that quarterback, that quarterback in Wyoming looks pretty good.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. That's what the Colts did with Manning. They tanked the next season and then went and got Andrew Luck, which they should have wrapped him in bubble wrap, too, right?
Well, speaking of Andrew Luck, it doesn't matter. I mean, Andrew Luck is phenomenal talent, but you have to surround him with somebody who could block them, NFL players, and also could catch the players, the passes. So,
wow.
Andrew Luck has been hurt right now because the offensive line is mediocre.
That's right.
Well, yeah. You got to fill up the offensive line. As you stated, if they listen to FFR, I asked for the trade for Trent Williams last year. Maybe we could get Ty and Seki. He's pretty good. So,
yeah, just move all of them up there, right?
Man, just send them all up 95.
We'll throw in Jordan Reed as a kicker, right? Yeah,
right. No, we keep Jordan Reed. Okay. On the way up here.
Roddy, thank you so much for joining us on the Federal Football Report, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right.
No, man, that's always fun. All right, that's our Giants insider, Rodney Henderson, man. That's always fun having him on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Interesting, he says, send all these Redskin players up to New York, and they'll take some of them. And I'll be honest with you, man, you know, look, the issue with the Giants have kind of been the same thing with the Redskins where you've got these injuries, right? The season started off rocky for the Giants with the receivers going down, you know, and it's almost as if the season ended before it even started for them. But enough about them. Let's go to the segment that America is just dying to hear every week. It's time for Fake News or Not.
It's time for Fake News or Not.
Oh, man.
That's what he said. It's time for it. Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Exactly what I was trying to say. And so y'all know the drill by now. Three questions. I pitch them to Kevin. He tells me whether they're fake news or not. This is a special Dallas Week edition. And by Dallas Week edition, all three questions will have to do with Dallas. Question number one. The Cowboys miss Zeke more than the Redskins miss Alfred Morris.
No, that's news right there. That's news. That's news. I think it's a couple of things. Zeke is a talent, and you gotta feel like the league has put a bullseye on the Cowboys' back. Sure. It's not that big star. Sure. They're taking the big star off the field and put a bullseye there, right? Because that's something that this the whole team. I know Zeke is experiencing it, but every week it was like a yo-yo. Zeke's playing, Zeke's not playing, Zeke suspended, Zeke, you know, Jerry Jones suing Roger Goodell and all that. It has to trickle down to the players. It's not like the players, I mean, in this age of social media when they're always tweeting, always Snapchatting, Instagramming, Facebook. Well, no, Facebook, that's what old people
are. Yeah, old people do that stuff. Nobody does
having Zeke there this year was bad, but still protect him on the field. And not having him there at all, it's got to be a disruption. Now, we'll see if Jason Garrett has anything within him as a leader of men to pull these guys together, because they're still technically in it.
Yeah, I mean, they're still technically in it.
This game Thursday is an elimination game.
For one of them. Yeah. For Redskins or for the Cowboys, somebody's going to be eliminated. I mean, you look at it, you've got to fight hard, and maybe we'll take a look at the playoff picture in the next segment, but you've got to fight hard to try to make sure that whoever the second place team in the NFC East is even makes the playoffs, given everybody else's record in the NFC.
Yeah, the NFC East had been down for so long when teams have won the division with like a 9-7 record.
Right, exactly.
This year, it's not happening.
No,
it's
not
happening.
No, not at all. Yeah. Because, I mean, the first place team already has 10 wins. It's a second question, if fake news or not. The Redskins are at 5-6, Cowboys 5-6, Giants 2-9. The Redskins are right now the second best team in the NFC East, for whatever it's worth.
Fake, is that fake news or not? Fake news.
Okay.
You can't see a team this year, this season, like they're going to their pregame prep. Boy, this is going to be a rough one this week. We're playing the Burgundy and Gold. You know? Ooh, right? You know, mm-hmm. Who like strikes fear in anybody's heart, right? You know, Cousins will catch an open man if he's open, right? But you put the clamps on them like they did earlier, right? If you find a good slot guy to cover Jameson Crowder, you know, is he able to trust Dotson enough to throw to him? The defense, if you get 3 seconds to pass, if you can get the guy open, you're good,
right?
So no, you can't say that.
Okay,
you can't say that they're close to being. I mean, you know, they're not the worst team.
Now, for whatever it's worth, being the second best in the NFC at this point, and NFC East at this point, you know. Yeah, are they? But you say it's not fake news.
No.
Okay.
Hey, look, when the Giants won the Super Bowl one of those years, I remember Burgundy and Gold beat them twice.
Right.
So
that
one of those years. So I would tell people, well, that makes us the champions. Because we beat the Super Bowl champions twice, right? You know,
right.
And they're going for this, right? I know we beat the Rams. We beat Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
You play either one of those teams again right now. And, you know, and this is as a fan. I'm trying to be realistic. I'm trying to let you people know I'm not. This is not all about Kirk Cousins and his contract or the great job and Paul J. and all the injuries and stuff are happening. We're not a good team, and we have not improved over the past 5 years. We just have not done it.
Well, you know what? Then I think I already know the answer to this. Fake news or not, Kevin, last question. The win on Thanksgiving was an ugly win, but a W is a W, and fans should be happy with that.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yes, that's a real tough one.
Yeah, that's news right there.
Okay.
That's news
okay.
right there because, you know, mathematically, they're still in it. They're not benching players. They're not walking away. They're not shutting guys down unless it's
injury.
Mason Foster or Matt Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matt Jones is reserve, right? You know, they're not shutting guys mysteriously down. They're
not
saying that we're evaluating players for next year. So they have not officially thrown in the towel yet. So. But, you know, hey, let's see what they got. Let's see what they got. When this man, 10 years since the murder of Sean Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
And,
right,
you know, Joe Gibbs brought those guys together after a tragedy.
How tragic was that?
I mean,
and a lot of those guys like Clinton Portis and Tana Moss, who, I mean, they're still choked up about it. We're just talking about it, you know?
A phenomenal. My favorite Sean Taylor story. I don't even know if it's true or not, but I don't see the reason it can't be true. In practice one day, early in practice, on defense, right, 11-on-11 drills, Sean Taylor's sitting down in the secondary, and the coach is yelling at him. What are you doing? Sean Taylor's sitting down. The ball is snapped. Sean Taylor gets up and breaks up the pass before whoever from the sitting position.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but that team.
He's practicing playing possum.
Yes, yes, yes. Under extraordinary circumstances, Joe, that team ran the table. The RG3 year, extraordinary circumstances. With the aid of Kirk Cousins, where I believe he beat
He came in against the Ravens. And then beat the Browns.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he had a part in it, so he knows what it's about. Right. So we got to see if Gruden can find whatever that is to make that happen again, see if it's there.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. We'll take a look at the standings and, dare I say it, playoff pictures. And we'll talk about the keys to winning in Dallas on Dallas Week. It still doesn't feel like Dallas Week.
Not yet. We got 3 days.
Yeah, I got to talk to a Cowboys fan and see how they feel about it.
If you can find one.
If I can find one.
They're probably driving cabs, right?
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
The sun's heat usually needs to be used where it's collected because it isn't easily stored. But MIT engineering professor Jeff Grossman is preserving warmth through chemistry.
We've designed a new kind of molecule that when the sunlight strikes it, it twists around a little bit in such a way that it's storing heat. And it doesn't let go of the heat until you need it.
Grossman says the molecule can be made into solid materials of various sizes and colors that release bursts of heat when triggered by voltage, a certain light frequency, or a small heat pulse, and could be integrated into things like a car windshield or a jacket.
When I want a little bit of warmth, I can simply trigger it and the jacket will heat up.
Grossman says the solar heat battery could be recharged thousands of times and easily made through
a synthesis process that is cheap and scalable, and we could be making tons of it.
More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Yatkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're
going
to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to
then
believe
what you're
this.
Do is turn
Marcy and Brad
Avenue
just broke up,
and, go past
and apparently
the
she's
lights,
happy about
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really think she's happy, but
you should be
who
there.
Am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right.
That's
I'll
what I heard last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once. Like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want a warm place on a cool day.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
An investigative tool the FBI uses to track down fugitives and missing children marks its 10th year. The FBI's Digital Billboard Initiative began in Philadelphia. Christopher Allen, the chief of the Investigative Publicity and Public Affairs Unit, explains.
A graduate of the Citizens Academy offered us space on digital billboards to publicize fugitive cases. As a result of those boards, two fugitives were captured right off the bat.
The program then went national, and the FBI now has access to more than than 6,700 billboards in 46 states.
Outdoor advertising companies want to be good neighbors, so they're offering us space on their billboards at no cost to the public.
Over the past 10 years, 57 fugitives have been apprehended as a direct result of billboard publicity.
The FBI knows we can't do this alone. We need the support of the public. If you see a wanted poster for a fugitive online or on a billboard, or if you hear about it on the radio, give us a call.
With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Join Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller for Ask the CIO, Thursdays at 10 and 2. Hear from your agency's top tech leaders on how they're using technology to change the way you meet your agency's mission. Ask the CIO is a must-listen for anyone who needs to know federal technology policy, implementation, and planning. Ask the CIO, Thursdays at 10 and 2 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Download at any time at federalnewsradio.com. Search Ask CIO.
Now back to the Federal Football Report with Kevin and Claude. Wow, two guys talking about football. So what else is new?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. He's Kevin, I'm Claude. We just love doing this show, man. This is a great privilege. So thank you to Lisa and Joel and all the bosses here at Federal News Radio, Hubbard Broadcasting.
We
DC.
Love this show so much, we do it for free.
If we had to, we would, right? So the Redskins improve Thanksgiving Day to 5-6. The Cowboys drop to 5-6 after a horrible loss on Thanksgiving Day. This looked pitiful. Like, you know, you bring your fans out on a holiday and everyone's excited. And then you lay an egg against the Chargers, 28-6. And so now it's Dallas week. Redskins Cowboys play this Thursday. And what's interesting is that the NFL, I don't know what it's been, but the Monday night games, the Thursday night games, you know, the Sunday night games, they've all been bad seemingly this year, haven't they? Like, they haven't been interesting. I don't know what it is.
There's been one good one, and that was, I believe, who was that? Was it Houston?
And there you have it. There was one good one. I'm trying to remember.
Here's the problem with that. Here's the problem with the whole Thursday night thing. The color rush.
Right.
The problem is the fact that they're doing the color rush means that there are people who have no NFL knowledge, input, priority dictating the course of the game, right?
Right.
You know, because no NFL guy is sitting there thinking, wow, let's do this. Place these guys in some obnoxious, nauseating colors.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Right. I also think it's too much of a good thing. Like, people liked the Sunday football. And you want to throw Sunday night in there, that's fine. And then Monday night. And then we wait an entire week again until Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
The obvious argument, like the players said, there's just not enough time to recover from the violence is pro football.
I can't imagine it is. Imagine playing on a Sunday and then having to turn around and play again that Thursday. Like,
it's hard doing a radio show like that.
I know. Who thinks of us? Like, it's hard for us to come in here, do a show after a Sunday game, and then have to do a Thursday show and come in and do a show after a Thursday game.
They don't think about
us. It's tough for us to do. So anyway,
all we want to say is they don't really care about us.
Right. That's right. Thank you, Michael Jackson. and also, what was the song with Janet Jackson? Scream. All this confusion makes you want to scream.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Cowboys, like you said earlier, this is an elimination game for somebody.
Right.
Somebody's going to get to 7 losses, and that's likely going to do you in for the rest of the year, because I don't think either one of these teams will reel off 4 straight wins if they lose this Thursday. And I don't think 9-7 will get you into the playoffs anyway. We'll talk about the keys to winning, but first of all, let's just look through the standings. We both know the Skins and Cowboys are at 5-6. The Eagles are at 10-1. Probably safe to say they're going to win the division. I think that's probably a wrap.
Yeah.
You've got Minnesota at 9-2. You can probably lock them into a playoff spot. I mean, they're at 9 already. If they lose the rest of their games, they'll still have a higher seeding than the Skins or the Cowboys if they lose one, because they held a tiebreaker, I think, against the Redskins.
Right.
Then you've got the Lions at 6-5, so they control their own destiny in that whole situation. The Packers at 5-6, they're in the same boat. The Saints 8-3, they have their own destiny. Again, as it pertains to the Cowboys and Redskins unseating one of these guys, because they're not going to be a division winner, so there's really only 2 playoff spots open for one of these, for the Skins or the Cowboys to take, because both of them aren't going to make it in. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
The Carolina Panthers and the Saints are both 8-3, so they control their own destiny as to whether they win their division or whether they finish in the wild card. Same thing with the Falcons at 7-4. The Rams 8-3, they can win their division or they can finish in the wild card, but the same thing with the Seahawks, they're 7-4. And so a miracle has to happen. A lot of teams have to lose out.
Yeah.
And either the Cowboys or the Redskins has to win the rest of their games in order for either one of them to kind of make the playoffs. So it's safe to say that whoever loses Although mathematically they'll still be in, for all intents and purposes, they'll be out.
Let me talk to you.
Do you see any scenario that the Redskins or the Cowboys, I mean, outside of the mathematical likability, I mean, likelihood of it, that either one of these guys are going to make the playoffs?
Let me talk to you fans for a second. Just get close to the radio or PC, however you're listening. If you're using the phone app, right? Just get real close. Do you want to win like that?
Do you want
a miraculous voyage to the playoffs? Do you want the Red Sea of NFL to part? And you all walk across on
because of the grace of God.
Yeah. Right. The bodies of the Rams and the Seahawks and the Panthers, everybody who's just strewn across your path. Is that how you want to get there? I think not.
Yes. I feel what you're saying, though.
Yeah. It's just going to be a bad circumstance, right? You know, because everybody's not going to miraculously get healthy, right? You know?
Right.
Because here's the thing about the playoffs. You're playing the best team. You're playing the best teams.
Right.
It's not, the best teams are not going to have any mercy on you. They're not going to care. Your offensive line is battered up, and you lost your best offensive weapon, and the quarterback doesn't like to throw to your best receiver. They don't care. And so, you know, will we take it? Absolutely, we'll take it. And we'll root for them all the way. I'll buy my, where's the Super Bowl this year? In Atlanta or?
Oh, gosh, let me see. You threw a monkey wrench there.
Indianapolis? No, I don't know. Wherever it is, I'll buy my ticket, right? Because I'll support the team. But I want to be realistic, you know, about it. Right? I'm just not going to be robbed.
Oh, U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, maybe I won't go there.
Heard Minnesota's beautiful August and July.
I'll go to the NFC Championship, right?
Yeah, right.
In L.A., right? We'll go there, right?
Yeah, nobody wants to go. Although, I mean, it is indoors. But you got to still get there.
But everything's indoors. Everything's connected. I heard in the last Super Bowl when Burgundy and Gold, everything's connected in many hours of the time of year by like tunnels, a series of tunnels and bridges and things. So you don't really have to go out in the elements to get from point A to point B if you're in the central location. So,
right.
You know, we'll rough it. You know, if we have to go to the Super Bowl in Minneapolis,
we'll go.
Support the team. Go Kirk. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. So we'll see.
Colts, whoever's playing at that time.
Right. So what are the keys to winning this game, this must win?
Here are the keys. You got to keep Dak contained, right? Dak isn't like, I'm sure he doesn't like to run because people are trying to hit him.
It's obvious. You know, and here's the thing. You're watching the Cowboys, and I was talking to a Cowboys fan the other day, and his frustration was, why doesn't Dak just run the ball more? I'm like, I don't think he doesn't want to. You know?
Right.
I think he'd rather pass the ball.
You probably talk to RG3.
But there's so many opportunities when you watch the games where if he wasn't holding it for that tenth of a second, trying to wait for someone to get open downfield, he would just take off. He could probably get 6 to 7 yards, and who knows what would happen.
I think when that happens, though, and I think it happened here, when the quarterback can do that, your receivers, depending on their personality, give up.
Right.
Give up on the route.
And they do have a receiver who will give up on a route.
Yeah. So we got to, we got to keep Dak from running. We got to keep him contained. Make him run, but not far. it's all about the pass rush, man. That's what it is.
That's right.
That is the only thing we seem to have going for us right now is a strong pass rush. And if they can get a good pass rush, that'll make even the secondary we have look a little better.
I think it's the pass rush. I think you have to stop Alf. And I think that you have to protect Kurt. You know what I mean? The Cowboys do have some pass rushers from DeMarcus Lawrence to David Irving that you do have to worry about. But their weakness, and you said it earlier in the show, their weakness is the secondary.
Yeah.
You know, you give Kirk some time, he's going to be able to expose these guys. And it's not going to be basically a monsoon like it was the first time they played this year in Washington. I mean, they're playing indoors. And so, and I feel like the way this team is going, you get up on them early, you might be able to take the heart out of the crowd and the heart out of the team early on.
Let me change the subject real quick.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and we've seen Jerry World, the big stadium. Remember the big screens up top
that the punters
used to try to kick. I heard a radio show in this city ask if Dallas played in an outdoor stadium.
Really?
Yeah, I started to call in, but I don't know if we're allowed to do
that.
Wait
a minute, a sports show?
A sports show.
In D.C.?
In D.C.
At one of these sports stations here.
At one of these sports, talking football, talking Burgundy and Gold.
They played outside.
Right. And my first thought was, did you see that big screen hanging from the ceiling?
Guys, it's come on.
Hey, that's why we do the Federal Football Report, because we don't want y'all just to have to listen to that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. Yeah. Come on, let's not even do
all right,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well,
anyway. So, hey, look, it's you know, we will see. It's a playoff game. Please.
It is. It's a playoff game. It's every game here or not, unless you lose, then the rest of them is just draft positioning.
Yeah.
But
it's practice for us, right?
You're right. We get to practice doing a radio show. And we love doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at FFRep. You can follow Kevin at Stanfield Kevin. You can follow me at Claude J Radio. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.